ask this will provide you the opportunity to utilize the privacy of your priesthood and rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are extremely grateful to you for the privilege and honor of gathering here in this environment of freedom in order to continue our advance in your personal plan. It is our prayer that through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, we might comprehend the things that we're about to examine, that they might become a part of our inventory of ideas, thus contributing to our advance within the plan, to the glory of Christ and the magnification of your word. And it is to these ends that we lift our prayer. In the name of Christ, our Savior, amen. Over the last 11 years, I've taken the opportunity to rant and rave and spew and moan about some of the problems that have emerged in what we call the doctrinal movement. Sometimes it turns out to be a real movement, and I have to have my say-sos about it. Nevertheless, there are a few that go out there and continue to plug away and do the job as unto the Lord and communicate the doctrine as it is revealed in our Lord's immutable word. And I am happy to present to you this evening, just for a moment, I'm surprising him when I do this, but I want to let you know that this gentleman was ordained with me at Baraka Church in 1987. We were two among seven. He's a pro. He went to Talbot Theological Seminary in La Mirada, California. I went to Baraka Church, and I used to gloat to the congregation that I had the better education of all you others, but that was just gloating on my part. This fellow is very steeped in the Word as well as the languages, and has had a very successful ministry in Denver, Colorado, and he is the pastor of Brian Olson and Aline Lindstrom, former members of this congregation who have since been transferred from here to Denver. And I'm happy to present to all of you Mark Perkins, my friend from Denver, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. So if you're ever in Denver on business, or if you ever get transferred there, you should check him out. Tonight we continue our study of a review, and we are reviewing the seven Nike Awards as they are presented in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And the reason we're doing this is because of the objective which is behind Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. In fact, let me take a moment to thumb over in my notes, and we'll just go ahead and review those two verses before we proceed with our study. Here is our corrected translation far as we've gone, beginning in verse 5. And so you yourselves have forgotten the doctrinal instruction which teaches you as sons. And then a quote from Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. My son, stop making light of the Lord's chastisement, nor become discouraged when you are reproved by Him. Verse 6, for you see whom the Lord loves, He disciplines by means of chastisement, and He punishes to the maximum every son who He welcomes home. We have been examining for some time now child rearing, and in that context we have also been noting some of the techniques and procedures used in orienting a child to the laws of divine establishment, to parental policy, and how genuine humility is developed within the soul of the child. And we have advanced in our study to the point of paideia, translated in the King James chastisement, and is a fine word to use as per that word's English definition. The English definition of chastisement is fine to amplify paideia from the Greek, which is to utilize the rod on the backside of a child. And the corporal punishment of a child is compared to divine discipline from God. And although God does not lash us with a rod, what He does do is punish us through discipline. And the pain and the suffering that comes there, the anguish of soul, is compared metaphorically to the pain upon the backside that emerges from the applying of the rod when the child is in rebellion. So that has been our approach here. And of course, what is the motivation for God to chastise us when we're out of fellowship, in carnality, or in reversionism? The desire is to goad us back to the established standard of divine righteousness revealed in Scripture by its imperative moves. And when we submit to the mandates of Scripture, then we are in the plan of God. When we rebel against them, we fall out of fellowship into carnality and uncorrected into reversionism. Now, when we are brought back to the righteous course, what is God's end desire after having done that? That He might then continue to instruct us through the grace apparatus for perception so that we grow in grace and receive escrow blessings in time and in eternity. And so at this point, we pause between verses 6 and 7 to review briefly the seven Nike awards of Revelation 2 and 3. These are the escrow blessings in eternity which are conveyed after escrow blessings in time become an historical reality. This, by the way, was studied. It took us about a year to do this because so much detailed exegesis had to be done, and there was a lot of eisegogics, you recall. So we're only doing a review. And so let's quickly note the first three Nikes that we established on Tuesday evening. The first Nike award comes in two paragraphs. Paragraph one is privilege to eat from the tree of life. And paragraph two is membership, which can never be taken away, in the paradise club of God. The disclosure of the first Nike is by our Lord Himself. Revelation 2 verse 7, beginning, toi nekonti, to the winner. I will give him the privilege of eating from the tree of life, which is in the paradise club of God. Only the winner has this privilege. Therefore, to eat from the tree of life is a prerogative only of the winner, not the loser. The loser does not receive the Nike. He, of course, has the marvelous experience of a resurrection body and eternal life, minus the old sin nature, but no Nikes. And the tree of life is located in the paradise of God, and so access to the paradise club is restricted to winners only. The second Nike award is the crown, corona, coronet, or Stephanos of life. This is noted in Revelation 2, verse 10. Keep on becoming faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Nike number three is to be christened with a new name of aristocracy. The disclosure is in Revelation 2, verse 17. Toi nekonti again, please note, to the winner. I will give blessing from the source of the hidden manna. The hidden manna is escrow blessings in time achieved from Bible doctrine resident in the soul. So that is blessing coming from the source of Bible doctrine in the soul. That is escrow blessings in time. And I will give him a white stone that is revealed as the resurrection body. Furthermore, on the resurrection body, or the stone, has been written a new name of aristocracy. Which new name of aristocracy? No one knows except the one who receives it. So there's no way I can tell you what your eternal name is going to be, your name of aristocracy. But we decided that we were going to be Duke whatever. Fourth Nike award is where we resume our study for the evening. It comes in two paragraphs. Paragraph one, assignment to and rulership authority over a nation in the millennial theocracy. Jesus Christ will be the ultimate potentate of that day, and if there is such a thing as a secretary general of a United Nations that actually functions, then in the millennial reign of Christ, He will hold that position. He is in charge of planet Earth and all of the nations which are found here. Thus, the millennial form of government is a theocracy. And that is noted in paragraph 1. We will be in a rulership position within the Lord's international cabinet. And this could obviously include being the president of a nation. You could be the president of something like, say, the United States, or you could be president of Bosnia. as we noted that on Tuesday. Nevertheless, you will be able to shape things up and straighten things out because there's no old sin nature, and Jesus Christ is a one-man wrecking crew for anybody that disagrees. So that's the theocracy, and He will rule with a rod of iron according to Revelation. Paragraph 2, investiture into the eternal order of chivalry, and we noted that as the most noble order of the morning star. Now, investiture is a very interesting word. The definition is the important thing, and there is going to be application of investiture for several more Nikes, 4, 5, and 6 to be exact. Here is the Oxford English Dictionary definition of investiture. It is the action of clothing or robing, the action or ceremony of clothing in the insignia of an office, the formal investing of a person with an office or a rank, and finally, establishment in any state of privilege or honor. And we will note several investitures as we move through, but the most noble order, the Morning Star, is the first that we note. The disclosure of the fourth Nike is found in Revelation 2:26 and following. And so the winner, even he who keeps my assignments until the end. Now, how do you keep the assignment until the end? This is your spiritual birth here, where you come to the cross through faith alone in Christ alone. And then this is your physical death, where your soul and spirit depart the body, and you're absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. Everything in between the cross and physical death is the Christian way of life. And you say, well, what is the Christian way of life? The Christian way of life for you is whatever life you lead after your salvation. You could be a reversionist. You could be an advancing member of the royal family. You could produce divine good to a maximum scale. You could be involved in human good. You could be involved in evil, crime, sedition, you name it. That would be the Christian way of life as you define it. And you have a much higher calling than those latter ones I mentioned. But too often in our day especially, we have Christians leading tawdry lives. Nevertheless, you must, in order to be a winner, endure to the end. And to make that advance, that arduous climb towards spiritual maturity, as you come to Bible class day in and day out, when it's boring you come, when we're on subjects you don't understand, you come. When we're on reviews, as tonight, you come. And you learn a principle over a period of time. That although I may be reviewing something we've done before, and when I start, you may say, I know this. This is just a review. I remember when we studied that. I was bored sick then. Now I've got to go through a review of it all. Well, I'll bite the bullet and come anyhow, but I'm not going to pay attention. Now here's where you lose out. Every doctrine has a different application in many, many different areas of Scripture. And where we may have seen one application last time we studied the doctrine, this time we see another application. The application I'm showing you here tonight is, what is the motivation for God chastising one of His children out of fellowship? What is the motivation for divine discipline upon a member of the royal family of God? We have studied that the objective is to goad you back into that righteous standard, which is called the mandates of the Word of God. What is the ultimate objective of all of that? So that God can continue to bless and reward you as you prosper in His plan. Ultimately, to come to the judgment seat of Christ and receive the Nike awards from your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's the application we're noting here. This is the motivation for the pain and suffering you're enduring as you're in reversionism. So there you have it. And as you move up this arduous path towards spiritual maturity, you endure and suffer through a lot of boring Bible classes. And so we have here to the winner. The winner is the one who can endure. Even he who keeps my assignments to the end, that's termination of phase 2, physical death. There has been the spiritual advance to spiritual maturity, and you've maintained the high ground until you die. Now we begin a quote again from Psalms. This time Psalm 2, verse 8. And it begins by saying, to Him. Now, we have a pronoun here, him. And back in Psalm 2:8, that pronoun refers to the Messiah. Well, in Revelation 2:26, it is the Messiah, the resurrected Christ, who is speaking to the Apostle John. So he's not making reference to himself here. It is obvious he is speaking about the winner at the judgment seat of Christ. And so Christ uses the pronoun him to refer to the winner believer. To him I will give authority over the Gentile nations. This then becomes paragraph one of the fourth Nike award. Authority over the Gentile nations. Now in verse 27, the quote continues from Psalm 2. Therefore, the pronouns here still refer to the winners who are being delegated authority by the Messiah. And the Messiah, in turn, received his authority from the Father, which is revealed in Psalm chapter 2. So we continue with our Lord's quote in verse 27. And so he, the winner, will rule them with an iron scepter. He will shatter them as clay pottery. This means with delegated authority, of course, from higher authority, namely the Messiah, who is the ultimate potentate of the millennial theocracy. And so with delegated authority from the Messiah, winners execute divine policy in their respective nations, the ones that they are assigned authority over. They can be the governor, so to speak, or the president, or maybe they're in some lower office. Nevertheless, they have this delegated authority and they function under it. This, therefore, concludes the quote by our Lord of Psalm 2. And then he concludes verse 27 by saying, I, Jesus Christ, also have received my authority from my Father. And that is revealed in Psalm 2, verses 7 through 9, as we have noted. And then the second paragraph of the fourth Nike is disclosed in verse 28. Furthermore, I will give to him, the church age winner, the most noble order of the morning star. When we first examined this particular Nike, we did a lot of historical research in some of the orders of medieval history as well as English history. And the most noble order of the garter is the one we used as our example. You must be chosen by the sovereign to be the recipient of the most noble order of the garter. And you're called into court in order to receive this decoration, this investiture. And it is quite an honor to be brought forward from among the many to be the few who receive such recognition. Such is the case for the winner at the judgment seat of Christ. The fifth Nike Award comes in three paragraphs. Paragraph one, to be invested with a uniform of glory. Paragraph one, then, is the uniform of glory. Paragraph 2, a permanent listing of your new title of peerage, that's your third Nike, a permanent listing of that new title into the Book of Life. And then the third paragraph, presentation at court. And that presentation at court will include a formal introduction by Jesus Christ to the Father of you, the winner at the judgment seat of Christ. You will be presented at the throne room of God. Now, I know this staggers the imagination. I know that this is something that is beyond your abilities to comprehend with our finite minds and our abilities to orient to aristocracy and the fact that we're scumbags and are not worthy. But what is it that would make you worthy for such a presentation? It is not a thing in the world that you've done or thought or decided. It hinges entirely upon the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the fact that you have been adopted into the royal family through faith alone in Him. You are now royal aristocracy. And if you advance in the plan of God, you will emerge as a winner believer that is not only an aristocrat, but one who receives great rewards, great recognition by the head of the church, Jesus Christ Himself. And therefore, as recognized royalty, it will be nothing for you to be taken over to the throne room and presented to the God of this universe. Well, all of this is disclosed in Revelation chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. You have a few persons in Sardis, namely members of the pivot, who have not soiled their clothes. That's the uniform of honor. In fact, they will walk with me in whites, referencing the uniform of glory, because they are worthy. You don't go unless you're worthy. Verse 5. Thus the winner shall be clothed in white garments, the uniform of glory. And I will not ever blot his new title of aristocracy out from the book of life. In fact, I will present him at court using his new title of aristocracy in the presence of my Father and before his angels. That's powerful. And you remember that we spent probably 6 months on verse 4 and 5. The reason we did is we had to document what in the world is this uniform of glory. And we went to the Scriptures and we went to its original usage and studied the doctrine of the Shekinah glory. And we noted how the Shekinah was revealed in every dispensation. How the Shekinah was revealed in the age of the Gentiles through theophanies. The Shekinah was revealed in the age of the Jews by the pillar of clouds by day and fire by night. We saw the Shekinah taking up residence in the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle. And we moved to the millennial reign of Christ, where the Shekinah glory Himself rules the world. And we see the Shekinah in the eternal state as well. But then the question arises, how does the Shekinah reveal Himself in the church age? That unique mystery dispensation, how does the Shekinah reveal Himself there? Is there some great vision that we see when we advance to spiritual maturity? This great light strikes us and we see Jesus at our bedside. You hear stories about this. People with a straight face tell of these experiences. We know they need therapy, but how do we know this? We go to the Scriptures and we can't find any place whatsoever that indicates that Jesus Christ will reveal Himself in the post-canon period of the church age through a Christophany. Christophanies are done with. They were done with in the pre-canon period, and they shall not be revealed again. And so our Lord must reveal Himself through the Word. Therefore, we went to passages that showed us, if you study the Scriptures, then you take on the thinking of the indwelling Shekinah glory. We found out that the Shekinah glory dwells in different edifices in every dispensation. In the age of the Jews, you recall, it was the tabernacle and the temple. In the millennial reign of Christ, it'll be the ultimate tabernacle of Ezekiel. And we noted in the church age, there is a place for the Shekinah to dwell in this dispensation. It is the body of the believer. And so how does the Shekinah reveal Himself in the body of the believer? The believer must take the Word of God that is the Messiah's very own, metabolize it into his soul, and begin making decisions and solving problems from that inventory of ideas. And eventually, the inherent light of divine thought is reflected outward in your lifestyle. Now, there's no glow that appears around your head. There is no halo that suddenly starts to dangle above your head. But what happens is that your life is transformed by your ability to think like Christ. You have an inventory of ideas based on divine thought, and this becomes your lifestyle. This becomes the standard you reference in your decision making on a daily basis. You therefore become a person of integrity. You become a person who can be trusted to keep His Word. You become a person who is recognized by your peers and those with whom you associate as a cut above the norm. This is the reflection of the indwelling Shekinah glory, and that is how He is revealed in the church age. And we also showed, by the way, as a footnote, how the Shekinah was revealed in the Incarnation. We saw that on the Mount of Transfiguration, and a great deal of doctrine was revealed in that particular study. Well, all of that led us to the understanding of the uniform of glory. The uniform of glory is what is presented to those who develop the uniform of honor in time. The uniform of honor in time is to reflect the thought of the indwelling Shekinah glory in your life through thought, decision, and action. And that's escrow blessings in time. That is conveyed in eternity in the uniform of glory, which recognizes that fact. Only the winner could receive such an award. But you have a few persons in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. That's the uniform of honor. They have been loyal to doctrine over the long haul. In fact, they will walk with me in whites. They will receive the uniform of glory at the judgment seat of Christ. And why is that? Because they're worthy. Verse 5. Thus the winner shall be clothed in white garments. Again, a reference to the uniform of glory. And I will not ever blot his new title of aristocracy out from the book of life. And then we studied the doctrine of the book of life. And we noted all that was involved there and how every believer in Jesus Christ is listed in the book of life. And your name may be Fred Jones. And over in Nike 3, you get a title. We don't know what the title will be. We made one up. Highest rank of peerage is Duke. So we decided you're Duke whatever. And that's going to be emblazoned on your uniform of glory. Fred Jones, Duke of whatever. Then you go to the book of life, and part of the fifth Nike here, second paragraph, is that that goes into the book of life. And that's where it's inscribed right there, and that is permanent. And that's a Nike award, paragraph 2 of the fifth Nike. Permanent listing of the new title of peerage from the third Nike into the book of life. Brought out in verse 5, I will not ever blot his new title of aristocracy, that's third Nike, out of the book of life. In fact, I will present him at court using his new title of aristocracy in the presence of my Father and before his angels. Third paragraph then of the fifth Nike is presentation at court before the Father, presented by Christ himself. Quite an honor. Sixth Nike comes in three paragraphs. Paragraph 1. Achievements in the angelic conflict are permanently cataloged on a stela in the temple of God in heaven. Now, in the ancient world, when kings and rulers decided they wanted people after they were gone to know what fancified things they had done, or what great exploits they had accomplished on a battlefield, or their assumed inventions of various apparati, they would emblazon this upon a piece of stone, and they would erect this stone somewhere, and it's called a stela. And archaeologists uncover these things from time to time, and that's where we learn about the ancient world. You learn some things about the ancient world from stelas. These guys were prone to gloat and to brag and to embellish. And so you have to match what they say with other evidence, and you do come up with some light on occasion. At any rate, there's not going to be an embellishing and fudging and making things up in the eternal state. So the achievements of the angelic conflict will be accurately and permanently cataloged onto a stela in the temple of our God in heaven. And that's paragraph 1 of the sixth Nike. Paragraph 2, the grant of a coat of arms blazoned upon the uniform of glory. A grant of a coat of arms blazoned to the uniform of glory. And paragraph 3, entree into the new Jerusalem. Now documentation, Revelation 3, verse 12. To the winner I will make him a stela. That's documentation of the winner's invisible achievements in time. I will make him a stela in the temple of my God. We assume that it will go into the historical records department. Furthermore, he will not ever... They've got a regime up there now that seeks to edit out little snippets of history that they don't agree with. And if they can't get it out, they reinterpret it. Not so in the temple of our God. Your name, once placed there, will never vanish from history. And that's because your achievements were accomplished in the angelic conflict, and it's a part of your recognition. The verse goes on to say, also I will blazon. We went into heraldry and we noted official terms there, and blazon is where you have the crest and its appurtenances affixed upon certain articles of clothing. Also I will blazon on his uniform of glory the following charges. And what is blazoned on the uniform of glory is a grant of a coat of arms. Now what we are about to see is a shield being charged. Now in heraldry, you usually wind up with a shield looking something like this. That's the shield, and upon it you may affix particular devices, as they're called. And you can take a device and you can charge it to the shield. Now what is being revealed here is a coat of arms that's going to receive three devices charged to it. And so we explained how this would be done if we were examining this from the standpoint of heraldry. The first charge is the title of my God. And when you're looking at a shield, you have to pretend that you are the one standing behind the shield, while at the same time you're standing in front of it, looking at it head on. And we're going to terse this in pale. And this is the procedure of dividing a shield in the manner which I've shown you into three equal parts. Now this, oddly enough, is the left side of the shield. Why is that? Because standing behind it on this side, it's the left. But you're looking at it from the front, and the left side is called sinister. And this, of course, is the middle, obviously. And then the right side is called dexter. And so you have the left side, the middle, and the right. And we're going to have devices that are going to be charged to each section. The title of my God is the device that is charged to the sinister section or the left side. And we decided that we would have someone drum up these things in heraldic array so that you could visualize this. And there's what old Paul Davy came up with for us to use. Says the title of my God. So we selected a way to demonstrate that. A gold sovereign's crown charged to a field of blue. Gold, meaning rulership authority, and a field of blue, always indicating in Scripture eternity. In the middle section, we see that what is going to be charged there is the name of the city of my God, namely the New Jerusalem. You will note in your verse, which comes down from the immediate source of heaven, from the ultimate source of my God. Well, in our studies of the first Nike, we learned about the paradise of God and how there was a tree of life there, and how both of these were inside the New Jerusalem, and only winners got to go there. And so in a way of presenting to you the city, we put the tree of life. Now, that's probably just an old fir tree, but we're going to call it the tree of life in order to demonstrate the idea of what we have here. And so the middle charge is the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from the immediate source of heaven, from the ultimate source of my God. And so we charge it with a green tree attached to a field of gold, since Scripture tells us the New Jerusalem will be paved in gold. And finally, on the dexter portion of the shield, our device is my new name. And Jesus Christ is the one speaking here, and so His new name is the one that is under consideration. We show it by a gold lion, rampant, double-tailed, with a sovereign's crown on his head and an iron scepter in his right forepaw, charged to a field of red, this indicating the fact that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and is the ruler of all eternity. These things we developed in detail as we studied the concept of heraldry in association with the sixth Nike Award. There were a lot of other interesting things that we undertook in that particular study. We undertook heraldry in many ways. We added appurtenances to this. As you advance in your duties to the sovereign is obliged on occasion to reward you. And that, of course, is the subject of all that we're looking at here. And I can show you another overhead that will demonstrate this. We won't belabor this point other than to remind you. But here's the shield right here, and around it are all these appurtenances that can be added. And this indicates duty and service to the crown. Therefore, divine good, production in the divine power system, wins for you, earns for you appurtenances to your shield at the judgment seat of Christ. We studied that in a great bit of detail, and I won't go into it now, but I did want to remind you of that concept. Let's move on now. We're at the seventh Nike Award. This is the interesting one. Appointment to the General Assembly of the True United Nations. I know that's a revolting thought. Nevertheless, there will be nationalism in the millennial reign of Christ. And we've learned from other Nike Awards that we are going to be placed in positions of authority within these various and individual nations. Jesus Christ runs the world, but He will delegate authority down to church age winners to run nations. And it says here that as a result of that Nike presentation, it will bring about the seventh Nike. Appointment to the General Assembly of the True United Nations in the theocracies of both the millennium and the new earth. Disclosure, Revelation 3:21. The winner, I, meaning Jesus Christ, Secretary General of the True United Nations, I will give him the privilege of sitting with me on my throne. And that equals appointment to the General Assembly of the theocracies of both the millennium and the new earth. He goes on to say, as I have been victorious, meaning Operation Reconciliation, and have sat down with my Father on His throne, and that refers to the session of Jesus Christ. Christ, therefore, rules with God. We rule with Christ in both the millennium and the eternal state. Now some analysis. Point one. Included in the seven Nike Awards are 13 separate escrow blessings. There are 13 different paragraphs which we noted in our brief review. Point two. All of them come together to make up the creation of a new order of chivalry. As we studied this in intricate detail, we noted that all of these things interrelated to each other, and they all indicated rewards to aristocracy, an aristocracy based not upon your human birth, but your advance after the spiritual birth. You're already in the royal family through faith in Christ, but these appurtenances were added to your ledger as you advance through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Thus, there is a new order of chivalry for winners in the eternal state. And all of these things interlock and bring that out. All seven Nikes do this. Point three. These awards describe the investiture which comes to those who achieve in service to their sovereign. What is your motivation for being in the divine power system and for executing the plan of God based on biblical revelation? What are you motivated by? You should be motivated by service to the sovereign. You are honorable if you remain loyal
to the sovereign's orders. His orders are revealed by imperative moods in the Greek New Testament. You will do this. You will not do that. It might be an imperative, a prohibition. It may be a positive imperative. It may be one that says, won't you join me? Hortatory command. But you will find these imperatives outlining what God wants us to do and what He doesn't want us to do. And when we comply, righteousness demands that justice bless us. When we are rebellious, righteousness demands that justice chastise us. Paideia. And you don't get away with anything. Further, for every act of divine good that you accomplish, there will be blessing. If for no other reason than that good decisions from a position of strength broaden your future options. Not many people, by the way, enjoy that kind of life. They're always making poor decisions from a position of weakness, limiting future options, and they're miserable as a result. Well, these awards describe the investiture which comes to those who achieve in service to their sovereign, to their nation, or the royal family. At this point, we noted a review again of the definition of investiture, which I've just done, so we'll not note that and move to point five. Thus, the winner's investiture includes clothing, insignia of office, office, rank, privilege, and honor. From the definition, we note that a winner's investiture includes clothing, insignia of office, rank, privilege, and honor. Point six. Let's break the 13 paragraphs of the seven Nike awards down into these six categories. Number one, clothing. Among the 13 paragraphs, two had to do with clothing. The crown of life, Nike 2, the uniform of glory, Nike 5, paragraph 1. Two, insignia of office. There were two. The most noble order of the Morning Star, the fourth Nike, second paragraph. And secondly, the grant of a coat of arms, sixth Nike, third paragraph. Three, office, rulership over a Gentile nation. That is the office you will hold, rulership over a Gentile nation. That's the fourth Nike, first paragraph. Then we see rank under the fourth category. And in order for investiture to be completely included in this whole organizational structure, there must be a rank. And certainly there is. We have a new name of aristocracy, which is the third Nike Award. So there's rank involved in our investiture. And finally, our investiture must carry with it both privilege and honor. And so number five is privilege. The privilege of being granted access to the tree of life. First Nike, first paragraph. Presentation at court. Fifth Nike, third paragraph. And finally, the privilege of sitting with Christ on His throne. The seventh Nike award. Finally, number six, the honor of our investiture. There are four. Membership in the Paradise Club of God. First Nike, second paragraph. Inscription of our new title into the Book of Life. That's permanent inscription, obviously. Fifth Nike, second paragraph. Having your achievements sculpted into a stela in the temple of God. This makes you This is where the invisible hero becomes a visible hero in eternity. The losers, by the way, will have access to the temple. They may want to know what their Nikes included as far as time and eternity. And they can file by there and they can call up on the little computer there, Fred Jones, Nike Awards in Time. And he can flash that up, punch his little button, and up will pop this phenomenal list that staggers the imagination. That was imputed to him in eternity past, but he filed up through negative volition, and it was never conveyed in time. Consequently, he can pop up his Nikes for eternity, which could not be conveyed, but he can see what they were, all listed out. And then he can file by over here to some kind of display and see these things all lit up real pretty. You can look, but you better not touch. And that's a sad, sad story. They can look, and they can know it was theirs, but they can never touch it. You getting any motivation out of this? Membership in the Paradise Club of God. Inscription of a new title onto the permanently into the Book of Life. Having your achievements in the angelic conflict, although invisible to others, known to God, and inscribed into a stela permanently on display in the temple of heaven. Sixth Nike, first paragraph, and finally, you're given entree into the New Jerusalem. Sixth Nike, third paragraph. Point 7. Now, these attributes will become operational during three different periods. There are 13 paragraphs, and they become operational during three different periods. Let's review those as we close this review. Subpoint 1, the judgment seat of Christ. There are 8 of the Nikes, or 8 of the paragraphs, which become operational at the judgment seat of Christ. Number 1 is the crown of life. That's issued at the judgment seat. 2, new name of aristocracy. That occurs at the judgment seat. You're granted 3, the most noble order of the morning star. 4, your uniform of glory. 5, your title of rank, duke, whomever, written into the book of life. 5, you are presented at court before God by Christ. 7, your achievements are etched into a stela of the temple. And 8, you are granted a coat of arms. Subparagraph 2, those that are operational in the millennial reign of Christ. The application of the winner's new status of chivalry and execution of his royal authority will occur during this dispensation. Number 1, authority to rule a Gentile nation. And number 2, membership in the General Assembly of the Millennial United Nations as a part of the Lord's cabinet. Now that's what becomes operational in the millennium. Now obviously those 8 paragraphs that became real at the judgment seat are brought into the millennial reign. So now you have 10. So what does that mean? There are 3 left for the next period of history. Number 3, the New Jerusalem. Certain privileges and honors which are unique to the eternal state will become operational in the New Jerusalem. Number 1, the privilege to eat from the tree of life. 2, the honor of holding eternal membership into the Paradise Club of God. 3, the honor of guaranteed access to the New Jerusalem. And that, of course, makes 13. But the final one comes in 2 parts, which will be obvious in a moment. Membership in the General Assembly of the New Earth's United Nations as part of the Lord's cabinet. There will be nationalism in the eternal state. And so you will be involved in that in both the millennial reign of Christ and the eternal state. So the 13th paragraph noted here is broken down into 2 different periods of history. Point 8,
These Nike awards are contained in the eternal escrow for every person who believes in Jesus Christ for salvation. If you are a believer, if you prefer the elect, if you are among the elect, then in eternity past, before your election, these were imputed to you. Point 9. The eternal escrow was created in heaven before the creation of the world. Now let's note Ephesians 1:3 and 4. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now that's escrow blessings for time and eternity. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Where? In the heavenly places. That is the depository for the escrow. And who is the escrow officer? Stated next, in Christ. What God has imputed to you as escrow blessings has been transferred temporarily, hopefully, to Jesus Christ as escrow officer. When you fulfill the requirements of the escrow, then Christ will relay those rewards to you personally. Otherwise, he transfers them to the storage center in heaven. Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him. There's your election. And when did election occur? Before the foundation of the world, in order that we should be holy and blameless before him. Now, according to our time, we've got about 5 minutes left. And certainly I can't get into the concepts found in Ephesians 1, verses 3 and 4, having to do with our election in eternity past, and having to do with our imputation of escrow blessings in eternity past. But it is from these two verses that we're able to document many of the things that go on involving the Nike Awards. They are the escrow blessings for eternity. Well, in the Greek grammar, the action of the aorist participle precedes the action of the main verb. And the main verb in these two verses is election, eklego. It's found in verse 4. And the aorist participle is the verb has blessed, eulogeo, found in verse 3. Thus, God the Father created an escrow of blessings for every person whom He elected, and this occurred before the foundation of the world. Well, all of that will have to be the subject of our study beginning Sunday morning. Father, we are indeed grateful to you for the privilege and honor of gathering here and in reviewing concepts that serve as a motivation for us to pay attention when we are out of fellowship and to confess our sins to you and to be sensitive to the pain and suffering of divine discipline should we stay out of fellowship far too long. That we would not take this lightly, nor that we would be frustrated by it, but respond to the pain and the suffering, knowing that it is imposed upon us by your eternal love. Your desire is to restore us to your standards so that we might continue the advance in your plan to the end that you might bless us exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ever ask or think, and to do so in both time and eternity. May these things motivate us to continue our advance, and we lift our prayer in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen.